expanding broadband in Wisconsin is an issue that could enjoy bipartisan support. We're talking about the state of connectivity here on The Morning Show. But first, we're getting connected to our final day of the spring membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Michael Arnold. Listener support is the largest piece of the funding here. So your gift now of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes WPR the reliable station that it is, with programs you enjoy every day. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're having a really great last day of the drive, Kate. This is wonderful. Yeah. We heard from 12 new and returning members in the last hour. Thanks so much for those gifts. But right now, we're really going to wrap this up really well. This is a really great thing to have on the last day of the drive. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, up to $5,000. This generous match is from current members, including a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Middleton, and it means that they will match every dollar you give this hour.
It is beautiful. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Up to $5,000 match, dollar-for-dollar. Double your support for the programs you love. Give now on this final hours of the spring membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match in effect right now. And federal and state tax dollars do provide important funding for WPR programs, but which do come from listeners like you. But voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
Absolutely. You make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs that you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a dollar-for-dollar match is in effect, up to $5,000. We don't want to leave a single dollar on the table. And what we're asking you to do is support a healthy habit. Wisconsin Public Radio is probably a preset in your car. You probably have a radio or your smart speaker set up in your home so you can listen. You listen to WPR a lot, and it's time to become a contributing member.
Help pay for the station you listen to so much. Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're talking about rural broadband access here on The Morning Show. Governor Tony Evers wants to increase funding for the Broadband Expansion Grant Program to about $78 million over the biennium. He laid out the situation in his budget address last month.
Lack of access to reliable broadband internet service affects families at homes and affects our classrooms, our hospitals, and building a strong economy. I know there has been bipartisan support on this issue in the past, and we absolutely need to double down on this critically important issue.
So how does lack of reliable internet access impact your job, your business, or education? Do you support the governor's budget proposal to invest more in broadband across the across Wisconsin? Are you working on getting a grant? 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Angie Dickison is the Wisconsin's Public Service Commission's State Broadband Director. Angie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on this morning. I'm happy to be here.
So as we look at the expansion proposal of broadband expansion grants, can you tell us more about that plan and what it would look like for Wisconsin?
Oh, certainly. I'd be happy to. I think where I should probably start is give you a little bit of background about our office and what we do. The Wisconsin Broadband Office is housed within the Public Service Commission, and our team works with communities, businesses, and broadband providers, along with other state agencies, to build public-private partnerships that foster broadband expansion. We administer the Broadband Expansion Grant Program that the governor is proposing to put a great amount of money into, and we also administer two certification programs, the Broadband Forward Community Program and the Telecommuter Forward Community Program.
And so as you look at the prospect of expanding grants, what would impact would that have on Wisconsin communities?
Certainly. You know, we are excited about the additional funding that's been proposed in this state budget. You know, when you think about how lack of broadband access might impact communities, you know, I really ask people to stop and think, you know, what would your day be like if you didn't have access to the internet? How would that impact your family, your business, your health, or your safety? You know, would you start a business in a community that didn't have broadband access? Or what if your best or only option for internet access was via the free Wi-Fi at the local fast food restaurant? We hear that from folks. In 2019, broadband access isn't just nice, it's necessary. And so that's why we're very hopeful about the possibility of additional funding for our grant program at about $78 million that's been proposed. That'd be about $39.3 million per fiscal year. Give us additional opportunities to encourage communities and private companies to partner, to work together. Those public-private partnerships have been so successful across our state. We want to continue to foster that collaboration and that spirit of working together for the common good.
Angie, can you describe to us what these grants cover and how competitive they are for communities to get one?
Certainly. Our grants fund broadband infrastructure projects, so the actual infrastructure that is required to deliver a broadband service. The grants don't cover the ongoing cost of operating a network or the ongoing cost of subscribing to the service.
Is there a plan in place to ensure accountability for the companies that are, laying the fiber and providing the service to ensure that they're following through and making reliable broadband a reality for people in rural Wisconsin?
Yes. The commission requires each grant applicant to report on the status of their grant project every 6 months. And when the applicant requests reimbursement of expenses, the review of project status is ongoing, and the commission is absolutely very proactive in establishing and continuously improving its internal controls and monitoring of grant awards. I can share with you, to date, the program has awarded 138 grants across the state over the six fiscal years that we've had funding. So the total, just over $20 million in grant funds have been awarded through this program, impacting 63 counties in our state, areas of 63 counties, I should be specific.
And how long do those grants last for these communities?
The grant recipients have 2 years to complete the build-out of their broadband projects.
Angie Dickison is with us. She is the State Broadband Director of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. Gathering your thoughts on broadband expansion where you are, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. What is your connection situation? Would your community benefit from better broadband? You can call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Coming up, we'll visit more on the issues surrounding broadband with this conversation continues right here on The Ideas Network. We're talking about a push to expand broadband access in Wisconsin, what that means, particularly for rural areas that are seeking grants. One of the toughest roadblocks to bringing high-speed broadband to rural counties is the cost of installing fiber optic cable. And the U.S. Department of Transportation has some numbers on that. They say the average cost of laying fiber is $27,000 per mile. $27,000 per mile. How does lack of reliable internet access impact your job, your business, or education? We're at 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Angie Dickison stays with us, and she is the Wisconsin Public Service Commission's broadband director. And let's go to the phones now with Ryan joining us from Columbus. Hi, Ryan.
Hello. Good morning.
What are your thoughts on broadband?
Well, I live in a small municipality outside of Columbus, and I live on basically Highway 73 and happen to know for a fact that there is fiber running down the length of that road as it is an emergency corridor between two both cities. And there is no access for me for high-speed broadband. Our only option is satellite or cellular, and it's incredibly expensive to get high-speed internet out there. Excuse me, wondering what I can do as a homeowner out there to kind of grease the wheels, so to speak, or find out if my city or my neighbors have submitted a grant or have not yet, and I can.
Ryan, thank you for telling us about your situation. Angie, you know, fiber is right there in a stone's throw from Ryan. He knows it's there. Why can't he get connected?
Well, there could be a number of reasons for that. I would want to look at what specifically is happening in Ryan's area. And good morning, Ryan. I'm so happy you called this. I encourage you to reach out to my office. And, Kate, if there's a way for us to share contact information here at the end of the program
Absolutely.
Or through your website, I'd appreciate it. But I will... happily share my contact information. It's easy to get a hold of me. My email address is Angie, A-N-G-I-E, dot Dickison, D-I-C-K-I-S-O-N, at wisconsin.gov.
And Angie, I want to just stop you there for a moment, but are situations like this where you know fiber is laid, but communities are still having difficulties getting connected in to that? Where is the disconnect there, if you will?
It could be a matter of that fiber actually being what is considered middle mile fiber connecting perhaps to another community, and it's a network that perhaps wasn't designed to connect directly to people's homes.
So, and I just want to jump in here. The governor made this goal of attaining a download speed of 25 megabits per second, upload speed of 3 megabits per second for all homes and businesses by 2025. How big of a job is that?
Definitely a big job, but certainly with the governor's proposal to, in his words, double down on this important issue, our state funding will certainly help us get a whole lot closer to achieving that goal. On top of that, there is a significant amount of federal funding that private companies in our state are receiving to improve broadband access in rural communities. So in Ryan's situation in the Columbus area, what our office would do is we would certainly reach out to the providers that are in and around his area. And I would encourage Ryan to talk to his local community leaders to see if they perhaps have an interest in participating in our grant program. Like I said, I almost hate to talk about the budget because I'm superstitious, but I'm so hopeful that this funding will make it through and that we will be announcing the availability of $39.3 million in grant funding for fiscal year 20. Nothing would make me happier. And for folks like Ryan, who it's a terribly frustrating situation to be in. We hear this from folks around the state. I can see the fiber. It goes through my front yard, or my neighbor just down the road is connected to this wonderful fiber network, and I don't have it at my home. So it's an interesting thing to talk about, actually, in that when we talk about the digital divide, we're typically talking about rural communities. The other side of that is that in rural Wisconsin, we have some communities that have fantastic broadband access.
Well, let's pause right there talking about broadband access and the disparities with Angie Dickison. She is the Public Service Commission's broadband director. You have a line at 800-642-1234. News is coming up next on the Ideas Network. We're talking about broadband access on the morning show. According to statistics from the Federal Communications Commission, 43% of Wisconsinites who live in rural areas lack access to at least one broadband service. compared to the national average of about 31%. So we're looking at what Wisconsin communities are doing to connect and lay fiber with your comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Do you support the governor's budget proposal to expand broadband grants? Would your community benefit? Go after one. Angie Dickinson stays with us. She is the broadband director at the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. Let's go back to the phones now with Diane joining us from Iron County. Hi, Diane.
Hi. My question is, I have heard that if a municipality or the government put in the fiber optics, that it has an infinite ability to carry data, and multiple companies would be able to put their data through those lines, and people would have choices to which company that they would like and for their internet service, and there would be competition. Is that true?
Diane, thanks for the call. Angie, what about competition?
I'm not familiar with the situation that Diane is asking about. There may be other proposals out there around that type of possibility. I know for our grant program, our program funds infrastructure that's either a grant awarded to a telecommunications company, a for-profit or nonprofit or cooperative organization, or a local unit of government that has partnered with one of those other types of organizations. In terms of who would have access to that infrastructure, I would imagine who is actually owning and operating that network.
But there are communities in Wisconsin, even regions, with one or maybe two internet providers, and some would consider it a monopoly. And if your one or maybe two choices on providers offer poor service or low speed and reliability, there's not much you can do. Is that being taken into consideration while this expansion is planned with grants that are awarded?
You know, our program looks at expanding service in unserved and underserved areas of the state, and certainly those projects would have the ability to provide consumers in those areas additional options for broadband service. You know, in looking to achieve the governor's goal of, I love that goal, 25-3 service by 2025, the state is going to be looking at innovative and new ways to get everyone connected. So while fiber is certainly one way to get there, our program is agnostic to the type of technology used. And there's a lot of innovation happening with wireless service that we're looking at on the horizon here, too.
Let's go to Ann now in Nisida. Hi, Ann.
Good morning.
What's on your mind about broadband?
My question is, our large communications company has received grants to upgrade the rural area. They have not upgraded. Actually, they have expanded and brought our broadband down. I can only get a 1.2. I can't do a YouTube. I can't stream anything. I'm lucky to even get on the computer, and I'm just wondering how they can get grants and not use the grant money for what it was intended for. I'll take the answer off the air.
Angie, what about that in terms of the outcomes you see on these grants?
Right. I would have to look at Ann's specific situation. My guess is that Ann is referring to federal funding that her broadband provider received to improve service, and not a state broadband expansion grant. I'd want to verify that, and I'd encourage Ann to reach out to me so that we could do that. Our program certainly wouldn't impact an area with that type of or leave a consumer with that low of a broadband service level.
Well, let's
so
go.
That's why my guess is she may be talking about funding from a different program outside of the state program. So I don't want to leave folks with the impression that our state broadband program isn't delivering high-speed internet access to folks.
Let's go to Luke now, joining us from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Luke.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
I'm part of an indie. I'm in sort of an in-between area here. I'm rural, I guess, but I'm only a handful of miles outside of either Chippewa Falls or Eau Claire. I can kind of see both of the areas from where I live. But rural enough where we don't have cable, we don't have DSL. So contrast that with my mom, who lives basically in the North Woods, who has fiber strung to her house in the middle of nowhere in the northern lakes of Wisconsin. The difference of us is I'm served by AT&T if I chose to use them. AT&T, just old phone line, no DSL, no high-speed anything. And she's served by a local co-op. I was told that the local co-ops are the ones that are getting these grants for whatever reason, and AT&T doesn't, nor would they serve us just because it's not profitable to serve us. Is there anything going to be done for people like us that are sort of in the in-between area?
Angie, go ahead.
Well, sorry to hear about your situation. I, again, would encourage you to reach out to our office so we can work with you directly and work with your community directly. You're right. A lot of co-ops in Wisconsin have participated in our grant program. I can tell you that AT&T has applied for grants through our program in the past, and we would encourage them to continue to do so. AT&T also received federal funding to improve broadband service in certain areas of Wisconsin, so I'd want to check on that possibility for your area as well. You know, and I'll share an example kind of on the talking about the rural fiber that's been built out and some of the other impacts of our grant program. I like to use Bayfield County as an example. Our program has awarded 6 grants impacting areas of Bayfield County, and in our last grant round, a cooperative, Norvado, a rural broadband cooperative out of Cable, was awarded the largest grant in our program's history. Norvado received a $640,000 grant to build a fiber network in the Barnes area, and Norvado pledged over $2.5 million in matching funds, which included a $5,000 match from the town of Barnes. This project will also improve broadband access in the town of Highland in Douglas County. And I want to talk about what they're doing in Bayfield County, too. Last year, Bayfield County became the first telecommuter-forward community in Wisconsin and in the country. The folks there, their economic development director, and the leadership team at Norvado said, we've made this investment in infrastructure. How can we use this infrastructure to promote the economic vitality of our region? And they're using that infrastructure to promote telecommuting opportunities, to work together with businesses and employers, and to encourage the use of that infrastructure and to attract even more people to the region. And I was just in the area last month to present Bayfield County with their Broadband Forward certification. That's a certification that recognizes communities that have streamlined their permitting processes for broadband infrastructure projects. And what was wonderful about that meeting last month, it was at their county board meeting, it's just great to see representatives from Norvado, CenturyLink, and Waypoint Experts, three different broadband companies, companies and organizations of different sizes and types, all in attendance there, and it's a real testament to the power of public-private partnerships and the positive outcomes when communities and broadband providers work together for the common good. Just very hopeful about this proposed budget and the opportunity to continue doing the wonderful work that we're doing here through our program and to continue supporting communities and providers in this collaborative effort. You know, you hear the frustration of folks looking to improve their access, and I think this additional funding really takes us a giant step forward in getting there.
Angie, you know, the state budget aside, when you dream about success when it comes to broadband connectivity, when Wisconsin is more fully connected, what is possible and when is that dream possible?
The governor's goal of 25-3 by 2025 is achievable. My dream is, I'll tell you my dream. My dream is that ultimately the state would no longer need a state broadband office, and that folks like Ryan and Ann wouldn't have to call in during a pledge drive to plead for better broadband access, that the job would be done, that folks would be connected, and that all communities would be using that infrastructure as an economic development tool, that students wouldn't be sitting in their parents' cars outside of a fast food restaurant just to complete their homework, and that we would continue to innovate in our state. The possibilities are limited to only to our imagination. We talk about the Internet of Things and how everything is ultimately going to be wanting to connect to the Internet. It's not just nice. It's a necessity.
Angie, very quickly, you know, this has come down to the priorities for lawmakers. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has expressed concerns over the cost of such expansion. Is there an alternative, or does the state really need to bite the bullet here financially?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, there's been bipartisan support from this program, and really appreciative of that support from both sides of the aisle. I've enjoyed working with leaders from both parties here in Wisconsin, and I think ultimately folks have heard that message from on both sides. Our rural communities want better access, and our program is a wonderful way to help build those partnerships between public and private to make our state a connected state.
Angie, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to. Thank you, Kate. I appreciate your support.
Angie Dickison is the Wisconsin Public Service Commission's broadband director. You heard her here, right here on the Ideas Network.